Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is presented by Naoki and Food Future Co.
This week, it's the season finale of Meat and Three. We're following up our episode about youth with a look at age and how aging affects life on farms and in kitchens.
At the most basic level, we need people to grow food for a growing global population.
The question of planning for retirement or old age as a cook, it's almost one that doesn't exist, bizarrely, until it's too late.
We also have a story about a food that might be older than you think.
A recent archaeological finding might have CrossFitters everywhere reevaluating their diets.
Plus, a story about one of Atlanta's most historic and risque landmarks.
There are dancers that have been there 20 and 30 years.
Don't miss our season finale of Meat and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Can artificial intelligence make your pizza better? Find out on today's episode of Tech Bites. Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners tuning in from 165 countries around the world, about a million listens a month. And today, they are tuning in to Tech Bites, the weekly show where we talk to influencers and innovators in the food tech space. Today, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. We're going to use our human intelligence to talk about artificial intelligence. And it's
some kind of human intelligence.
And its potential impact on pizza and restaurants around the world. But before we do that, we're going to do like we always do. We're going to go around the shipping container and talk about apps we love. Old favorites, maybe that have been living on your home screen for 10 years, or a new one you just discovered. We'll go first to the man on the decks at Mission Control, Dave Tatasciore, HRN studio manager and our engineer for the day. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good. I'm all those things.
You are. All that and more.
And more.
Oh. Mm. That was the perfect moment for a sound effect.
Yeah, I know. My hands are busy, though.
Okay.
Whoa, buddy.
That did not sound right. That's going to get edited out.
This live. There's no editing.
So my app is Sonos. We have a Sonos system in the house now. And
fancy.
Yeah, it's cool. You can like link up various music platforms to it. So like I have my Google Play music hooked up to it. You can link it to your Spotify also, I believe. And it's great. Yeah, you can play stuff through the house.
So you turned your phone into a remote control for your fancy new sound system.
Exactly.
Excellent. And I'm assuming it's free once you've bought said sound system.
Yeah. The app itself is free, but
great.
The system is not.
Okay. And you're happy with the sound quality of the Sonos and all that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay.
He's an engineer. You have to remember this.
Yes, I know. Well,
like
that's why.
The guy's ear palate is
right.
Intense.
Well, that's why the recommendation is important.
It
and
is.
If he says it's okay, then that means really it's like okay.
It's good. It's better than like my old Bose radio that I still have.
Okay.
As far as off the shelf goes, though, what where do you see the quality? Because I know what your level is. That's the type of stuff that you're not just buying at B&H.
When you trade up, what's your next purchase?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not one of those people who is like obsessed with like extreme audiophile sound quality, because that can just turn into this deep, dark, never-ending chasm of like, yeah, gold wires and like all this other esoteric BS. So, I mean, yeah, no, I was maybe underselling it before. The Sonos is good. It sounds good.
Okay.
I think the bigger problem is like the source material. Like a lot of the times people are listening to like inferior quality files, music files. So like that's where the real problem is.
So you're listening to a crap file on a great sound system.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Going
you're listening to your like,
so you blame Spotify.
No, I think Spotify does a better job than other than some platforms of like how they distribute stuff, and they don't overly compress. And now that there are like new loudness standards, we could go on about this forever, and I don't want to ruin your show. But like, that's the issue though, and it's starting, I think, to turn. Like, I think people are realizing that you can't just like have a super compressed MP3 file and have it sound good no matter what system you're playing it on.
What's the best platform to listen to Tech Bytes?
HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
There you go. There you go, people.
Trick question, but yeah. I passed.
Excellent. Also a pause for a sound effect.
Wherever his hands came from that time, I don't want to know.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't want to know.
So also joining us today, we have Kenneth Kuo, who is co-founder and CEO of a company called Ingest. We'll be talking about what Ingest does later. But Kenneth, for now, do you have an app that you like?
Yeah, so one of the things I've been trying to really think about a lot is, especially with running a startup and we're raising money right now, is just my mental health and sanity. So I think Headspace has been really helpful for me.
A little bit of the daily meditation.
Yeah. I've been trying to get better about having sort of morning rituals and then rituals before I go to sleep, just to orient my day. And I think Headspace has been super helpful to me because there's just a lot of chaos that really clutters the way that I think about problems and the way that I approach my day. I mean, I'm not like a woo-woo kind of guy. Like, that's, I'm like very much like,
I find that hard to believe.
Why?
He's wearing a robe, a silk robe right now. I know you guys can't see this on the radio. It's beautiful silk robe. And he's sitting Indian style, mind you.
He's in the zone. What's your favorite Headspace meditation?
I just do the daily stuff. Just,
the daily stuff? Yeah. The everyday, the discovery ones?
Yeah, exactly.
Headspace has been a long time favorite on this show. And I myself have Headspace. I really like it. And it's nice. I also like the sleep sounds and different things. And you can walk around and they're always adding new ones. They have an urban walking one, which is kind of cool to like meditate while you're walking.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Okay, Headspace. And if you have never tried it, you can download it and they have a free 10-day thing where you can do it for 10 days. And I actually have friends who have just been repeating the free 10 days for years.
You can so do that. Like,
I love those people.
It's very Buddhist, right?
I love those people.
Because the circle keeps coming back meta. And over and over and over again. So Headspace.
All this has happened before and it will happen again.
Is this a repeat?
All this has happened before and it will happen again.
And the voice that you've heard to the right of me is Brandon Hoy, owner, co-founder of Roberta's Pizza. And we talk about Roberta's Pizza all the time because we're sitting in Roberta's Pizza.
We are. Thank you, Dan. I will be here all day on every pizza, show, actually. Unfortunately. No.
You should do a marathon.
I should.
We should do a fundraising Roberta's marathon.
I think I could go.
I
think I could go for days.
We could go for, you know, radio. Like maybe hours and hours.
Days.
That might be fun.
We Months,
have a,
maybe.
We have a host meeting later today. Maybe I will propose a Heritage Radio Network marathon.
We can filibuster the meeting.
Absolutely. Totally. I'm going to do that. I'm wearing sneakers. Oh. I'm going to insist and persist. So Brandon is here. This is his first time on the show. Even though we've been doing the show for 3 years, I was on his show a couple weeks ago. He's on a show called The Main Course OG.
You got it.
OG because it's the original show.
It isn't actually, though. It's a remake of the original, which is the irony behind that.
Well, it's the same people, though. Right?
Not really.
Reboot?
Reboot.
Okay.
A better show.
A better,
one would
fresher.
Say. A better, fresher show.
But not younger.
Don't tell Patrick that. Although Patrick does say it's the best show ever recorded, not just on Heritage Radio, but in all of radio universe.
Really?
Well, Patrick is an interesting character.
Yeah, delusions of grandeur. Mm-hmm. I think
we could give him a time slot on the marathon show.
I would probably say no to that.
Brandon Hoy, also executive producer of the Heritage Radio Network Marathon Fundraiser Show.
Thank you.
Brandon, do you have an app that you like a lot right now?
I do. It comes from the Adobe suite. I really love Adobe Capture. I do a lot of design stuff. interior design for restaurant stuff. I also do a lot of merchandise design. Adobe Capture is quite amazing.
So are you the one responsible for the Heritage, or not the Heritage, for the Roberta's t-shirt merch?
I am. I put There's all a whole, that
if
stuff
you go
together.
If you go to the Roberta's takeout shop, there is a wall of t-shirt merchandise.
We also have a website.
They have, Roberta's. You sell shop, the t-shirts shop on the website
dot, yeah,
also?
Shop.Roberta's Pizza, yeah. We actually do very well online store.
So that is Roberta's Pizza. And if you want to follow them on social media, they're at Roberta's Pizza. There's a bakery. There's a store. You can get frozen pizza.
Thank you for dropping that.
And you can also click to reserve at Blanca, which is the surprising and unusual two-star Michelin restaurant that's on the other side of the courtyard, which you wouldn't guess
nicely
when you walked
hidden.
Into the compound of the Tiki Garden that there's a two-star Michelin restaurant adjacent.
It is kind of odd. And amazing. I think the
surprise
juxtaposition.
And delight.
Yeah, surprise and delight. I like to say this is a, you know, whimsical, neandering campus. And around every corner, there
I
might be a mystery.
I usually refer to it as a compound.
Compound? I was going to say compound, too, but it kind of, I don't know, a little Jonestown-ish. I don't know. I'll tell you right now, there's no Kool-Aid here.
No.
Hashtag Pizzagate.
But there is a
right,
full, but there is
right.
a full bar.
But there isn't a basement either, so just to be clear.
So, we have Kenneth here today to talk about I'm going to call it a software platform, tech platform. It's called Ingest. If you want to take a look at them while we're on the show, it is ingest.ai. So, essentially, you know, just to give a little backstory on the restaurant world and its data software platforms. Most restaurants are running on a cobbled together patchwork quilt of multiple third-party software platforms, 10, 12, 20, everything from your reservation, your seating, your credit cards, your point of sale, your purchase, all these things. If you've been in business since 2008, like Roberta's, you have probably cobbled together things that are old, new, experimental, reliable. Maybe one day somebody made a decision and plugged something in and they're long gone and that software is still there. So what happens is it's not cohesive. You lose a lot of data points along the way. It's fractured data. And as we all know, you need information to run a business. And if you don't have all the information, or if you get that information, you get it 3 months, 6 months later. It's not very helpful. So, according to the Ingest pitch deck, because as Kenneth mentioned, they're looking for money. And really, who isn't?
Yeah. Go get it.
They approximate that there are $218 billion a year, that's billion with a B, that restaurants are losing because of waste, because of bad numbers and bad data and bad decision making. So, what they've decided to do is they don't actually produce anything. Ingest is a platform that brings all your other platforms together in a centralized dashboard so you can see all the information from all the sources plugged in a neat and easy to read way in real time. And then the result is that they use artificial intelligence to sort of automate some of your decisions. So the idea is that if you have all of the information in real time gathered in one place, you could make decisions that would maybe save you, they say, upwards of $50,000 a year.
That's amazing.
Just to start. So I'm going to let Kenneth talk a little bit about how he went from working at IBM Watson to creating Ingest. And then I'm going to let him and Brandon talk about it.
Let's do this.
Right on. Is it okay if I swear?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is internet radio. Okay, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
My mouth is foul.
Okay, great. This is fucking fantastic.
Or else Dave would just be in the back riding that beat button.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So I used to run AI product for IBM Watson. It's a form of life. It was fucking awful. I'm just going to say that right now. Like,
you did a great show with IBM Chef Watson, though.
Yeah.
Episode number 15. It's a good one. Super fun. They taught the computer to cook.
Yeah, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, man. Like, I don't want to disparage anything, but there's a lot of what the marketing team does, and then there's actually what a lot of we were trying to do. And there's just a big disconnect between you know, the reality of the technology and the way that it was being sold. And I think towards the end of my time there, I really couldn't reconcile that divide anymore.
But modern marketing kind of, this probably takes place in 90% of what we see on television.
Yeah. Instagram.
Sure. Or anything.
It's all filters.
Do we call this fake news? Is that fake news?
Fake news.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, so I think I just couldn't be a part of that environment anymore. And my co-founder and I have been sort of working on things for the past like 5-6 years. We met in college. We went to NYU. And we both have pretty long-standing experience within restaurants. So, you know, I was a busboy, waiter, you know, all of that growing up. And during college, my co-founder actually worked at Luke's Lobster Roll. Sort of did everything, you know, all the way up to, you know, I think he was, you know, basically helping to run their East Village store at some point. And the idea for Ingest really came about with a discussion that he had with Luke, which was, you know, he was asking about KPIs, how do you judge the health of your business, et cetera. And, you know, the answer was, I just check my bank account, right?
So for those listening, what's a KPI?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, like a key performance indicator. So basically the data metrics with which you judge the health of your business.
What's doing well? What's making you money?
Precisely.
What's being cost efficient? It could be anything.
Yeah, yeah.
In the restaurant world, the KPI could be anything. It could be your liquor sales. It could be your bar sales. It could be, you know, how many pizza to go orders you have.
I would have to imagine, just from doing this for 10 years, that you almost have to look at all of those if you really want a healthy business. It's such a low margin. There's such high risk in the restaurant world that if you're not checking your key points kind of across the board, then you're losing money.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
But how frequently can you check your key points across the board, especially at the beginning? I mean, the first 2 years of a restaurant are just crazy busy while you're figuring it out and getting everything up and running. How did you check your KPIs? And is that advice or is that actual practice?
Actual practice. I have a call at 2 o'clock where I'll have a financial call where I go through all of my KPIs, which are a lot. And I've compiled a lot of information to look over. I like a larger dashboard. I want to see more things. I'm interested in more things. But also, as the business grows, you start to understand it a little bit more, and you start to understand what those key aspects of your business are. So you kind of focus on certain things. In the beginning, to be honest with you, your data analytic collection is probably not very good. Or accurate, to be honest.
What was yours in 2008 when you threw open the doors of Roberta's, which was basically the cinder block bunker?
All I was looking at that point was labor, was a labor number and a cost of goods, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I was looking at, because it's like really all you had the headspace to even try to like get a grasp on and fix. So those were really the only two things that we could even correctly intake and analyze.
Yeah.
But things move forward.
Yeah, they do. So Luke's Lobster, he's looking at his KPIs.
Yeah, and we saw this huge problem where there was no central point of consolidation for data. And you're unable to make these decisions properly, right? Because your processes are already so fractured. You have to go through your point of sale, inventory management, vendor management, HR, bill pay, all this crap. And none of these systems are talking to each other. And so the way that you're putting together the data is basically in an offline Excel spreadsheet, right?
That's how it's done.
Exactly.
I still use humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a software program or is that people?
They're actually real.
It's made from people?
Yeah, it's made from people.
Okay.
They have names.
It's like Soylent.
Okay. They pay rent. Yeah.
Because that would be a great name for a software program.
It really would. Especially an artificial intelligence program.
Yeah. So I think it, what we really enable restaurants to do is we automate a lot of that data consolidation. We automate all of it. So we seamlessly plug into any and all third-party systems. And I think one of the things that one of our major tenants, having been in the space, is we never want to change your workflow or anyone in the restaurant's workflow. So we don't want to replace any of your third-party systems. We just want to make your life easier operationally, right? And in order to do that, I'll give you an example. So Union Square Hospitality Group is one of our customers, one of our partners. and to manage across their 16, 17 locations requires an entire cadre of people, right? So that you have your operations, you have
more
your
humans.
Finance. Yeah, more humans. And the amount of time that they spend manually consolidating data is gross.
It's insane.
It's absolutely insane. For us, it's instantaneous. As soon as we touch a product, we understand the data structures. You know, it takes about a week to integrate, but every subsequent restaurant that, for example, uses Toast, or every subsequent restaurant that uses Square, the uptime and ingestion is now instantaneous. And the ability to see all of that data can be stood up within, say, 4 days, right? And so we're now moving everything that you previously used to do offline in a really ad hoc kind of way into, you know, we're moving it onto your phone, moving it onto your desktop in a digitally connected way so that you have access to every single thing that you need to look for. And one of the things that I think has arisen because of this really crazy tech landscape is that, you know, just for example, so one of the things that we're helping Just Salad do right now is consolidating all of their delivery revenues into their accounts receivable, right? So Restaurant 365, mm-hmm. Their accounting software. They literally spend like, and we can't get into certain metrics, but like, real human hours, like tangible human hours, entire humans' jobs are to just manually pull all of the data that's being generated by Seamless, Grubhub, Ritual, you know, and their own delivery apps, and pulling that into Restaurant 365. There's no way that the data integrity.
I would say probably 90% of restaurants do have that person. Who that's a real job in this business.
Data entry.
Yeah.
Data entry, you have transfer. To pull,
like you said, this is a cobbled together tech landscape where you're pulling all this information, all these analytics from all of these places, and then trying to compile them into something for me that could just go on my phone, where I could have a phone call and start flipping through and say, here's all the things I need to see.
So there's a really great slide in the Ingest pitch deck, and it's a CB Insight graphic of the restaurant tech market map, and it's this crazy infographic, and I'm just going to read the categories of software platforms that restaurants deal with, and for each category that I read, there are at least 3 to 12 possible choices within that category. Waitlist management, tabletop self-service ordering and payment, smart kitchen equipment, guest Wi-Fi, table POS platform, energy efficiency, phone charging station, staffing, digital display, employee education, food waste management, reservation platform, purchasing and inventory, music system, smartphone payment, customer loyalty, broad restaurant management software, loss prevention, restaurant website, financial management, white label delivery software, marketing, and CRM.
I feel like there's more.
Oh.
Oh yeah. There's
delivery. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think delivery was in there.
That's just a representative sample. Basically, that was just, if you see the infographic in my mind is, the icons are super
that's
small.
That's fucking bonkers. This thing needs to be, the only way to truly read this is if you blow it up, 6 foot by 6 foot.
And you want to add to it.
I mean, I think as time goes on, you add to it, right? Like I said, you start with a small dashboard of things you need to see, and you add to it. All I mean, hey, everyone runs their business different. If like looking at the bottom line and seeing how much is in your bank is working for you, then it works for you. If you feel comfortable with the amount of money that you're making, then it does. But if you're trying to grow the business, you're trying to squeeze everything out of it. And that's not necessarily going to your Lamborghini fund, but you may want to add another manager. You know, there might be real crucial decisions.
Or install coat hooks in the bathroom.
Brandon. First of all, stop hanging your coat in the bathroom. Just get in and get out, all right? Get back to your table. You know, what are you hanging in the bathroom? Stop hanging out in the bathroom, all right?
We are going to take a quick break and find out who the amazing underwriters are for this show. Did you know that Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit? Did you know we keep the lights on and the mics hot out of the deep generosity of our members, grants, and underwriters? Well, if you didn't, listen to who these good people are and maybe give them a shout later. Stay with us.
This episode is presented by Naoki, a Japanese restaurant located in the Chelsea neighborhood of New York City. Naoki is owned by and named for Japanese restaurateur Naoki Takahashi, and the chef is Jiro Aida, formerly of Salt and Charcoal in Brooklyn. Learn more at naokinyc.com. That's NaokiNYC.com. This episode is also presented by Food Future Co., a scale-up accelerator for growing startups that are providing unique products and solutions across our food system. Focus areas include consumer products, local food, plant-based food, sustainable seafood, ag tech, food tech, and food waste. Learn more at foodfuture.co. That's foodfuture.co.
Well, if you're just joining us and you're wondering what the hell you clicked on, this is Tech Bites, the weekly show where we talk about the intersection of food and technology. And today that intersection is a company called Ingest. It is a restaurant software platform integration system that brings all of your 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 systems onto one dashboard so you can look at your data in real time in one place. If you want to check it out while we're on the air, that's Ingest, Ingest.ai. If you want to follow them on Twitter and Instagram, they are at Ingest.ai. And he is talking with Brandon Hoy, owner, co-founder of Roberta's Pizza, where we sit every week. The pizza never gets old, and I'll tell you, it's a big, big lure for guests. If you don't know Roberta's, and I don't know how that could be, but you can follow them on Instagram and all social media at Roberta's Pizza. You can check them out in Bushwick, Brooklyn at 261 Moore Street and at their Manhattan outlet at the Vanderbilt Market.
Yeah, 570 Lexington as well, urban space.
If you cannot get to the New York City area, you can get Roberta's frozen pizza online and at quality retailers near you. Mm-hmm. Check out their website. They got a lot of merch. So we were just talking before the break about how there are too many software platforms. It's fragmented data. Ingest brings it all together in one place to allow you to have better decision making, but also potentially eliminate some human labor time inputting all that. So I'll let Brandon take it away and...
Me take it away.
You take it away.
I mean, I think at this point I need to understand exact, just layman terms, sure, like what the system is actually doing. It sounds like it's a solution here for artificial intelligence to kind of mine and gather all of the sporadic data that one collects and try to put it into one nice tidy package with a little bow. Right.
Yeah, that's right. So our core business really is this data integration, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're ingesting part of our data structures is to be able to ingest you know, as close to real time as possible, the data that's coming through your point of sale. What kind of point of sale do you
Aloha.
Guys use? Aloha, exactly. Mm-hmm. Not to disparage,
Mahalo.
But
Mahalo to you as well.
they are very old, and it's not always easy to get.
What does very old mean?
You know, NCR. It's only one step above micros. In my mind, it's still like archaic.
Put time frame on it for the people at home who don't necessarily know Aloha. I mean, because technology being something old in technology. I mean, we're at the iPhone 10, so
early 90s, I believe. Yeah. Aloha has been
20 plus 30 years,
and micros predates that.
Exactly,
and micros predates that. But Aloha was the next generation behind that. And to be fair, we actually switched over to the new Square Beta, which is a Square restaurant version, which was an absolute disaster for us. And the solutions just. One, this restaurant may be too complex for them. They may need to adapt in a different type of restaurant that's maybe not as complex, but it was not communicating just operationally. Not set aside all of the mining for data. Operationally, it just couldn't get tickets to the right places on time and as you need them to be, or close out checks. Certain
how many software platform systems do you use right now, all told?
Oh, I couldn't even tell 10, you.
20, I would say 30, 20. Mm-hmm. 20 plus?
20 plus.
Adding new ones every day, every week?
Trying to subtract. I would say over the last 3 years, I've probably subtracted more than I've added. And I think like there has been addition by subtraction. And one of those things is, I think that there's all of these things are like mining, right? You're digging holes looking for certain specific things that you need to see in a dashboard, right? And a lot of these things overmine. And it's like, if I'm just looking for gold, but this thing's digging a hole and it's pulling out
magnesium.
I'm getting everything. Yeah. I'm getting magnesium, coal, like I'm just getting all this stuff. And it's like, then you also have a whole job of just trying to figure out how do I get this thing to just give me the information that I need, right? And I'm not getting like this overly robust system of reporting, right? And so I have a bunch of different dashboards that I would look at. Avero is a back end that collects a lot of stuff through Aloha. I have analytic programs that are attached to the website that I look at. I have the same that come through for our shop website. So I have a numerous amount of separate dashboards that I just look at and that I'm scrolling through. Mm-hmm. So then also my catering, my mobile, that we use Square for those. So for me, I have 5 different apps on my phone that are giving me real-time data, but I still have to mine that myself.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I'm sure you'd love to have that in one place. And part of the insights that we surface, so part of the artificial intelligence is demand forecasting. So with high amounts of accuracy, because we've consolidated, because we know every single piece of data that's coming in from everything operationally, point of sale, even your HR, who's clocking in, who's clocking out, we're able to predict with high amounts of accuracy what's going to be happening in your restaurant. And so because of that, there are certain things that we can surface that just these other pieces of software are just not able to see.
Right.
So we know, for example, you know, you're going to sell, we're going to predict that you're going to sell, you know, 800 killer bees in the next, say, 7 hours. And because of that, we're able to make ordering recommendations.
Please make that prediction come true.
Yeah.
The bee sting, by the way. Yes, if we sold 800 of those today, I would be a very happy camper.
Okay, people.
Let's try.
Start phoning in your orders.
Let's do it.
So, you know, we can try and take your ordering to as just in time, just the right amount, right, as possible, avoiding food spoilage and stuff. And that also happens with staffing. So to be able to staff the right amount of people instead of overstaffing or understaffing. Those are just a few of the operational things that we're able to provide.
Right. So I have a data entry person slash analyst, right, whose job it is to collect from all of these back-end dashboards, all of that information, compile it into even more archaic means, which at this point for us is not, it's you know, probably a Windows doc, right? it's actually sent to us in DOS and I have to decode it, but no, so I have a data entry person and that also analyzes, takes all of this, analyzes it, puts it into a document that's a literally a spreadsheet that's so big I can't even see it on my phone. I literally have to sit in front of a computer, mm-hmm. do an like we do like a GoToMeeting where we thoroughly do this.
And what's the time frame?
I do that monthly.
So you don't have daily real time.
I mine my own daily real time. So all of the things that are important to me, I'm mining daily real time.
How long does that take you?
To mine daily real time.
Yeah. What's your daily mining?
Most of the. I mean, I'm usually on it most of the night. I would say, you know,
I'm like on and 2 hours.
It's probably throughout the day. It's probably more like 2 hours.
So 2 hours a day plus the monthly meeting and a full time staff person.
Correct. The full time staff person would never really be eliminated by this. It's also, you know, our controller.
Right.
It does the data entry. Also still humans still have to analyze this stuff.
Right.
Right. And one human may look at something, a variance in something, and see a different interesting solution or problem that it may cause. Right. So I think there's four or five humans who are looking at this kind of compressed analytics, right? And then making assumptions based on those compressed analytics.
Absolutely. So really what those people will never go away because they understand your business and they understand what that data means. Our job is entirely to make it so that they don't have to do any of the manual bullshit anymore.
That's amazing.
It's enabling them to actually spend time.
You're going to get that fucking mic drop today, aren't you?
And it's in real time,
yeah,
right?
As close to real time as
possible. It's as close to real time as possible. So you could have that meeting every day or every week instead of once a month in real time.
Yes and no, right?
Because your data dashboard would be up to date.
Mm-hmm. It's always updating.
It's always updating. Because it's pulling from the different systems.
That's right. And
so when someone orders B pizza number 512, as soon as that hits the system, it dominoes through and shows up in your dashboard?
That's right. So it's a constant
stream.
That's amazing. And the time frames are editable, right? And so I think one of the things that we see a lot is not only is your, you know, all your systems fractured, sometimes with multi-locations, you have just even different POSs. Right. And
yeah, which I do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That data consolidation is not good.
No, right? it's difficult.
Exactly.
And time consuming.
Exactly. We bring that all together instantaneously mm-hmm. and in real time. That also allows restaurants to have a robustness because, as you were saying, when you transition over from different third-party systems, from different POS systems, et cetera, you're basically losing all of your previous historical data. Mm-hmm. Right. We house all of that so that you never ever lose it.
That's an interesting point. So if you've been on Aloha for the past 11 years or 10 years.
No, I was on Halo, which was another one. Yep. And do you want to hear how crazy this is? I do have a
Halo all day.
Halo all day. You love Halo. Is that a third person fighting? But I have Halo. Literally, this is, I can't even believe I'm going to say this out loud. I have all of my Halo information on a CD in my desk. I don't even have.
Where do you put the CD?
I don't have a place to put. I don't even know how I would extract this anymore. I don't have a CD drive. I would have,
you'd
to,
have to go,
go
to the library.
Yeah,
maybe,
or find like, do they still have Dell like shops Vaughn. Open? Are there still Dell?
We could do it right here in the studio for a price.
You could? Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, what's your price?
Oh, we'll talk after the show.
All right. I like the way you move. Yeah. No, but
so
it
that's,
is.
That's an amazing point, though. So because you have all of your data from every single platform flowing through one place, you get to keep all the data, even if you eliminate platforms going forward.
Here's a slightly logistical question. Would you look at like the end result? Like if I showed you what I'm looking at as an end result, would you back out? Would you say, here's how I'm going to extract all of that information? Or do you just look at all of the information that's being gathered and try to streamline it into... Do you understand that question?
Or is it everything and then you customize your dashboard?
Right, because then that becomes this over-mining thing.
Well, but then if it's in the back, you just turn on the ones that you want and then maybe 5 years from now, you'll be like, hey, we're doing so much international frozen pizza sales, we need to turn on the currency converter button.
Sure. And I have a lot of those things, right? Like I look at things probably maybe deeper than most, maybe not than most, but I look at it very deep. We have things split in for like pizza is its own category, not back of house. I have pizza, I have back of house,
bakery.
I have everything split into its own category. So I can literally see every single thing, how it moves.
No wonder you don't have time to work out.
But I do still look all right, right? I'm not like a gnarly looking old dude, right?
No, I would never have you on the radio if you were gnarly looking.
Oh, I got a body for radio.
You have dad pizza bod.
Thanks. I will take that.
So to kind of go back to your question, it's two-sided. It's both. Because we are able to give you everything, you have the capability to do anything. Your pre-customized things, we can generate. You just tell us how you want it to generate, and we make it customized to you. And that just is available to you on demand as close to real time as possible into perpetuity. So there's no problem of this like over mining, right? We're not overwhelming you with the data. We're just making every single thing available to you. Mm-hmm. Your dashboards are constantly updating. I'd actually would love to show you after, you know, we get off how this actually works. And
so I'm like getting off. Is that a good one? No, David shaking his head on that one.
He's playing
said, no.
Halo.
No,
he's playing Halo.
Ah, come on, buddy.
I mean, hopefully, you know, we can add hours to your day so you can work out again.
Yeah, let's do it. Play some ball.
Yeah,
catch you on the court.
Yeah.
So, typically, when you're talking to restaurant groups and restaurants, and I mean, how many restaurant outlets would you say you have?
I would say we're a group.
You're a group.
Well,
you have the two places in Manhattan. You have Roberta's Central. You have the. Do you count the takeout as
Blanca,
a separate
takeout? Yes, yeah, separate business.
Right.
So you're a
restaurant group. You're what, like five units plus
five
delivery and product and retail.
Five plus QSR. I have the frozen pizza plus you know some
plus,
online
plus,
business.
Extra.
Yeah, extra. Read all about it.
Okay.
The bakery. I mean, yeah.
So how do you couch the economic benefit in terms of just the flat out labor up against the software platform?
Yeah. So basically, for us, it's economies of scale. So the more restaurants you have, the more money we save you, right? Because we're able to achieve a ton of operational efficiencies.
Do you charge a flat fee, or is it scale depending on services or restaurant groups, or
it's $400 per month per location.
Wow. $400 per month per location. You don't have to tell us what the data entry rate is, but I'm going to guess that the person doing data entry costs more than $400 a month.
You're correct.
Ding.
But again, I only have one of those people, and that person is also a decision-making analyzer of the data. So it really, again, it doesn't really eliminate that person. It only makes that person's job
different.
It actually gives them gives that person the ability to
do
to
other
analyze
things.
The end data rather than compiling it.
Absolutely.
And I think you hit on something earlier, which was the forecasting, right? I think from a restaurant, like in a restaurant, you're always trying to forecast. You want to be in front of problems and not behind them, and be proactive towards things that you are aware are going to happen to you. August is slow for me. I know this. February is slow for me. I know this. What are the things that I've done in the past that have helped me get through this? I like to keep tabs on the things that have worked and haven't worked, and also know like when I'm getting the money situation is moving for me. So try to keep everything in lines. Know when to collect the nut. Know when to spend the nut. All of those things. I think you only can do well if you're forecasting. If you're proactive towards them and
because
not reactive.
Because if you're reactive, then that means you're always in the weeds.
You're always in the weeds, and you're always going to find yourself in a situation where you're like, oh shit, I can't afford this. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Money's not coming in, and I can't afford this thing. So, AC breaks, right? And the AC costs $30,000, but you're in August, and you have to.
Yep.
You have to. And I think those are the kind of like small situations that you could get in if you're not being proactive and you're not understanding what these months
absolutely
look like.
And I think one a way to think about it is, you know, we're not we're not replacing this human's data into human. We're just reallocating their hours, right? So he or she probably spends, I'm just going to very conservatively, roughly half of their day consolidating the data.
I would say probably 15 to 20 hours a week.
Yeah. And that is just lost human capital because we do it instantaneously into perpetuity, right? So that person is now gaining 15, 20 hours of productive time a week.
So then where does this for somebody like me who's not going to actually lose a labored position, right? Which mm-hmm. would be the first and most apparent financial savings that you would make on this. So somebody like me who this person is there, not going anywhere, where am I going to find the savings now? Where can you quantify savings for the 400, which so 400 you're saying 400 a month times 12. We're talking.
It's like $4,800.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Per
location. So you're talking about $5,000 a year that needs to be saved here, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So where now would you see that coming from?
Yeah. So some of that is going to come from like just pure cost savings, right? So being able to actually demand forecast so that you're wasting less food, right? Number one. Number two is productive labor hours for your staff, front of house, back of house, mm-hmm. So that you're not over prepping, under prepping. So there's going to be savings realized for labor, right? So just off the bat, those two things per restaurant, for one of our case studies, one of our early restaurants, we saved them $50,000, in the first year of working with them, right? So you're spending $5,000 to save $50,000. It's your 10x.
That sounds like a horrible plan.
You don't want any part of that, dude.
Frugal. I'm frugal.
You don't want any part of that.
I hate savings.
Well, I wish
to be honest with you, it sounds very interesting. I think there are holes. Obviously, you try to build a strong dam, but probably every restaurant can say that there's holes. You know, you can't see everything at all times. It's hard to see in 360
degrees.
It's also,
first of all, you can't see in 360, and you have multiple properties. You have certain you have limitations of the hours in the day. One of the interesting case studies that's in their pitch deck is when they were funneling in the food costs in real time up against everything else, they realized that food cost on fish was double what they thought it was, and it turned out they discovered that one of their employees was stealing half the fish order,
right?
Like every day,
right? I think you know, when, along that lines, I think another thing that you see is just secret price adjusting from your vendors, mm-hmm. which is probably a concern of all. If you're kind of just automatically paying your vendors, just because you believe them, they're sending you a bill, yep. and you're paying it, and you're not double checking. That's also a whole another place where you could have been paying 99 cents for something, and 3 weeks later be paying $1.49, and they haven't even told you, or so that, nobody even knows.
Do you have a point of purchase software platform?
I don't have a point of purchase.
I have something to talk to you about after the show.
But I do. But
have you heard of Shoebox?
I have.
They've been guests on the show. They're great guys, but it's a very cool product.
And we do point of purchase. Again, this is another place where
they do it in real time.
which is amazing.
They have a data entry crew in the Philippines, and so everything goes there, and then in the morning it's all updated in real time and dumped right into your, you know, QuickBooks or whatever it is. And because it's people, again, the positivity of having humans, you know, you get some of those crazy vendors where they come in and it's like, you know, the TriStar strawberries, and you get a Seafold towel that has written on it £5, $42. Yes. You can take a picture of that with your phone and send it to them, and they'll data entry it, so you have real-time food costs.
That's great. I have so many subcategories, though, yeah, that sometimes make these kind of simple applications somewhat difficult. So
it's real people who are on your account, and then they start to understand the difference between oyster mushrooms and oyster shellfish.
That's
and
really
that
truly
kind of
amazing. Yeah. I shouldn't disclose this totally, but I am opening another location that's not in New York.
Another location in New York. Where?
I cannot tell it's probably all over Instagram already, because I put the sign up in the window. So
I didn't see it on Instagram, but I know.
Not on my Instagram.
I've read in the media that you're thinking about LA, California?
We're in the neighborhood,
like
somewhere.
Ace Hotel?
No, I'm in the Ace Hotel, not in the Ace Hotel. No, we try to stay alone on our endeavors.
So antisocial.
But that being said, there are some unique problems to be solved with data entry from abroad, right? So say it is California that I'm opening.
Is that considered abroad from Bushwick?
Well, from here, it's far enough away that I have receiving. I have a very like comprehensive receiving program that happens here that where information comes in and information goes out. Right. Up there, I don't have that. So these things need to come into something and get shoved back out to the accounting systems and back to me.
So we are out of time. We are over time. I need a better dashboard.
Where was
for
the
my
shot
timing.
Clock?
I know, right? If you are interested in finding out more about this abroad location of Roberta's Pizza, follow them on social media at Roberta's Pizza. I want to thank Brandon Hoy for coming in and being our focus group of one. I want to thank Kenneth Kuo for coming in and talking about ingest.ai. A very, very interesting consolidation software platform for restaurants might solve some problems. I think they're going to keep talking about it after the show. If you liked it, come back and see us Thursdays at 11 a.m. I'm Jennifer Leuzzi, and this is Tech Bytes.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.